We will be in Acts chapter 4 this morning. We're in our series called Making a Difference. We're studying the early believers in the book of Acts. And we took last Sunday off. We had Jake Guido with us. And so we'll pick up again this morning. We're going to do a little bit of review from 2 weeks ago. So hopefully your memories are good, because we got to go back 2 weeks. And I know for some of you, you know, kind of going back that far, it's hard to remember things. But what's yesterday? The book of Acts is often referred to as the Acts of the Apostles. But someone once suggested that maybe a more appropriate name would be the Acts of the Holy Spirit. Because every single soul that was saved, every single victory that was won, every advancement that we see the church in Acts make, it was all accomplished by the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And for those of you in Faith Bible, you may feel like this morning, man, this is kind of a repeat, because this semester we've been studying the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. And so this morning we're talking about things, characteristics that we find in the book of Acts that we can implement in our lives that will make a difference. And so this morning we're going to consider this, that the Spirit-filled life makes a difference. So for those of you that are in Faith Bible, some of this may sound like a repeat. Hopefully it's something that we can still use this morning, or if nothing else, it'll help you prepare for the test when you take it. What is that, a couple of weeks for theology? Whose? Oh, I didn't have one. This morning we could say, we could put our lesson theme into one sentence. It would be this: to make a difference, and that's what we all want to do, we must constantly seek to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. To make a difference, we must constantly seek to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And so here in Acts chapter 4, we'll see in great detail, especially in the closing verses of Acts 4, how the fullness of the Holy Spirit was evident in the lives of these believers at this church. And if we follow their examples, that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to follow the examples we see in Scripture. We can expect God's Spirit to fill us, to shape us, and He can use us today as He used the believers there in Acts chapter 4. Now, if we think back to our last lesson 2 weeks ago, does anybody remember what we discussed, what we saw happen in Acts chapter 3? Anybody got that good of a memory? We had Peter and John at the temple. They were healing a man. We saw a man who had been crippled for more than 40 years of his life. And we saw how their caring made a difference in that man's life. Well, today we pick up in Acts chapter 4 right where we left off from Acts chapter 3. So everybody's excited. They're celebrating the fact that this crippled man can now walk. The Bible tells us in Acts chapter 3 that he was leaping. He was praising God. Everybody was excited. But oddly enough, the temple leaders, they weren't too happy that this man was walking and leaping and praising God. So here we are in Acts chapter 4. And not only were they not so happy about that, they were even less pleased with what Peter then begins to say. You remember 2 weeks ago we said that a crowd begins to gather, and it opens up the opportunity for Peter to begin to preach. And so the religious leaders of this day, because, you know, these were the ones who opposed Jesus. These were the ones who hated Jesus. And so now, you know, Jesus has, he's been crucified, and now you've got these guys out here running around saying, oh, Jesus has come back to life, and they're preaching in the name of Jesus. And so this really upsets the religious crowd to hear Peter preach about the Lord Jesus Christ and his power to heal. And, you know, some things kind of don't change. Even today, there's people, they don't mind religious talk as long as you leave out Jesus. It's okay if we talk about this, you know, just sort of this universal theme of God. Because we can kind of make God to be whatever we want to be. But we say that Jesus Christ was God. And so that puts us in opposition with a lot of people. It's okay to mention God, but when we talk about Jesus, well, here it has been 2,000 years, nothing's changed, has it? And so it's interesting that the preaching of the gospel that we see here in Acts chapter 4 brings such a mixed response. We find Peter and John here in the opening verses arrested by these religious leaders for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And at the same time that the religious leaders are upset about Peter and John preaching in the name of Jesus, it tells us in verse number 4, that 5,000 people embrace this gospel message and receive Jesus Christ as Savior. There's a mixed response to the gospel. And it's still the same way today. And so the day after their arrest, the high priest and some other religious leaders, they bring Peter and John before the crowd and they ask them this question. They say, "By what power or by what name have ye done this?" Speaking of healing this man. And the source of their power. And in the exciting days ahead for this ministry that we see here in the book of Acts, for these pioneering Christians, I mean, this is brand new. The church is just beginning to explode with growth. What was the source of power? It was the Holy Spirit of God in the lives of these believers. And Peter wasn't the only one. The Bible speaks about Peter being filled with the Holy Spirit, but he was not the only one. There were many believers that were filled with the Holy Spirit of God, other faithful disciples. And so this morning we're going to learn from them three perspectives on being filled with the Spirit of God. If we want to make a difference, the Spirit-filled life will make a difference. Number one, it's the priority of being filled with the Holy Spirit. I mean, why is this even important? Why do we even mention this? Why would we spend a lesson talking about this? Why would Faith Bible Institute dedicate a semester to studying the Holy Spirit? What is this? Well, as this crowd gathers, Peter here in Acts chapter 4, he's given an opportunity to defend the faith of the apostles. And so at this moment, the most important thing about Peter standing up here and preaching was not Peter's education. It was not Peter's social connection. It was not Peter's financial resources. What made this moment so critical is Peter stands up to defend the faith that these men hold, that these believers are gathering around, was that Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit. Look at verse number 8. The Bible tells us in Acts 4, verse number 8, "Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel." So Peter's filled with the Holy Ghost as he begins to speak to these religious leaders. And the filling of the Holy Spirit, let's say this. Peter is going to stand up. Peter's a preacher of the gospel. Peter is going to proclaim the word of God. But the filling of the Holy Spirit, it's not just needed for preaching. The filling of the Holy Spirit was not just needed for the work of the apostles. The presence of the Holy Spirit, the filling of the Holy Spirit is necessary in the lives of every day for every single Christian, for every single believer. You need the filling of the Holy Spirit. It's not just for those who stand up on the platform. It's for every single person. We also want to say this. Sometimes when we talk about the Holy Spirit, we kind of think of the Holy Spirit in a separate sense than we do God the Father or God the Son, Jesus Christ. We kind of think of the Holy Spirit as being this sort of, I don't know, Star Wars, you know, the Force. But the Holy Spirit's not some force, is it? The Holy Spirit is a personal being. We believe that the Trinity exists, that God exists in three persons, the God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And so the Holy Spirit is a person. The Holy Spirit is the very person of God. This is not just the power of God, but this is the Holy Spirit providing power in our lives. The filling of the Spirit. This is not something that we would get confused with the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. The moment that you get saved, the Bible says every single Christian at that moment that the Holy Spirit takes up residence inside of you forever. But the filling of the Spirit, what is that? Because it's something that's different. Well, let's give it this definition. Let's kind of define it so we know what we're talking about this morning. We're saying the Spirit-filled life makes a difference. Well, let's understand what that even means to begin with. If you were in Faith Bible, you'll probably recognize this definition. I think this is a great definition of what it means to be filled with the Spirit. It means that it is a conscious, constant, and complete surrender to God's will. But it's not just stopping there. It goes on. It's dependence upon the Spirit's power to live the Christian life. This is what we're talking about this morning, total dependence. We're making a conscious choice. This isn't something that happens by accident. You don't just get filled with the Holy Spirit by, you know, putting your Bible under your pillow at night and you wake up the next morning and you experience the filling of the Holy Spirit. No, this is a conscious choice. And it's not something that you just say, you know what, I'm gonna seek the filling of the Holy Spirit today, and it's going to last forever. No, it's a constant thing that we are to continually do, as we'll see later here in a few moments. And it's complete surrender to God's will, totally depending upon His power to live the Christian life. Now, why do we do this? There's a purpose behind being filled with the Spirit. God has a purpose for this. He wants to produce some things in our lives by being filled with the Spirit. Number one, the purpose of producing the fruit of souls. When we're filled with the Spirit of God, we will experience the fruit of souls. And then we'll see the fruits of empowered ministry. We'll see victory over temptation. And we'll experience the fruit of the Spirit. This is the purpose of being filled. That definition, that conscious, constant, complete, and total surrender to God's will and dependence upon Him and His power in our lives. When we do that, this is the result. And we'll see this in the book of Acts. You will see this morning the fruit of souls. Peter was filled with the Holy Ghost. He stood up and preached. And verse number 4, how many thousand people did we just say receive Christ as Savior? 5,000. We see the fruit of souls over and over and over again in the book of Acts. The fruits of empowered ministry. Man, you look at the power that the early church had as these believers were filled with the Holy Spirit. The fruit of victory over temptation. We all face temptations in life. And how many of us, you know, we say, man, I wish I could get victory over this sin. I wish I could walk in victory in life. We can. God wants us to. He's given us the power to do so through the Holy Spirit by being filled with His Spirit. We can't do it in our own power, can we? So we have to do it through the power of the Holy Spirit. And then the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, faith, temperance. God wants to produce all of those things in our lives, but we can't produce them on our own. But when we're filled with the Spirit, we are able to produce those things because we are not naturally loving. We are not naturally joyful. There's a supernatural thing that happens in the life of the believer as we're filled with the Spirit that's able to produce those fruits. If we look at Ephesians chapter 5, a classic chapter on the marriage relationship, Paul's going to go into the husband and wife's relationship. But how does Paul begin in Ephesians chapter 5? Before he gets to that, in Ephesians 5:18, before he launches into this this part on the marriage relationship, what does Paul say? He says, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. We're to be filled with the Spirit. The verb tense of this verse, it literally means to be continually being kept filled by the Spirit over and over and over again. We're to be filled over and over every single day, every single week. We're to seek to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. It's a constant, that goes back to our definition, constantly seeking to be filled, not just a one-time thing. Something that some of those in Faith Bible learned as we've gone through this is that the filling of the Holy Spirit, this is the only ministry of the Spirit that we're commanded to seek. We're to seek the filling of the Spirit. We're to pray for the filling of the Holy Spirit. This is the only ministry of the Holy Spirit that can be lost. It's, again, a constant filling. You can be a believer and not be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And so that's why we're to repeatedly seek this. Because we want to produce those fruits that we mentioned. We want to walk in victory. So the Holy Spirit is our promise, number one. This is about the priority of being filled. We want to see, why is this important? The Holy Spirit's our promise. In the upper room supper in John chapter 16, Jesus explained to his disciples that he would be going away and he would send the Holy Spirit. He says in John 16:7, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it's expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you." Speaking of the Holy Spirit of God. "But if I depart, I will send him unto you." After his resurrection, before his ascension to heaven, he tells those disciples again that the Holy Spirit's ministry is so important. He instructs them to wait in Jerusalem. In Acts chapter 1, he commands them to wait in Jerusalem. "For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence." The Holy Spirit's ministry was going to be vitally important to this early church. And it's still just as important for us in our lives today. So through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, we next see that it's not only a promise that we've been given, that God promised to give us the Holy Spirit, but it's the Holy Spirit is our power. Acts chapter 1, verse number 8 says, "Ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost part of the earth." That kind of ties in with our missions theme. God will give us power. We can't reach the world for Jesus Christ without the Holy Spirit's power in our lives to do it. That word that we speak of, power, it means, according to Strong's Concordance, he would say this, that it comes from the same word that we get our word dynamite from. That sort of power, a strength, miraculous power, abundant might. This is what God is promising us through the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's power, it enables us to do what we can't do in our own strength. Again, his power enables us to be sweet and kind to our spouse when we've had a bad day. Because in our natural flesh, we don't want to do that, do we? We might struggle with that. But the Holy Spirit, if we're filled with the Holy Spirit, his power can enable us to do that. His power enables us to refuse sin, even though we might be very strongly tempted. There's power through the Holy Spirit to have victory over temptation. His power enables us to forgive and to restore, even though we might be wronged by someone else. Because it's not in our natural flesh to want to forgive, to want to restore people. We like to hold grudges. We like to get revenge. But through the Holy Spirit's power, he can enable us to do what we can't do in our own strength. So the only way that we can ever accomplish anything of eternal significance, any way that we're going to see any sort of miraculous proportions, is through the power of the Holy Spirit. So his experiencing his fullness should be one of our highest priorities as believers. If we want to make a difference, we got to see the priority of being Spirit-filled. Second, it's the pathway. Now that we understand it's a priority, this is vitally important to me. How do I get there? What's the pathway? Well, many other believers were filled with the Holy Spirit besides Peter in Acts chapter 4. And so, as we said in the beginning, this was not just for the apostles. This is for every believer. It's not just for preachers. It's not just for missionaries. You might say that being filled with the Holy Spirit of God, this was standard operating procedure for Christians in the book of Acts. And so, what's the pathway to it? Well, let's look. Acts chapter 4, verse number 31. What does it tell us? "And when they had prayed," so prayer's involved. We want to be filled with the Spirit. It requires that we talk with God, right? We've got to pray. It says, "When they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together." Now, this is some prayer meeting, isn't it? I've never experienced one like this. "And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness." Again, if we go back to our definition, we're talking about what is the filling of God? Well, it's a conscious, constant, and complete surrender to God's will and dependence upon the Spirit's power to live the Christian life. So if you say this morning, you know, I understand the priority of it. I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. consider these next steps. If we practice these daily, if we put these into use, we don't just write them in on our papers this morning and forget about it, but we actually take it home and we practice what we've heard. That's what the teaching and the preaching of God's Word is good for us. But when we don't put it into practice in our lives, it doesn't really help us, does it? We've got to take this and go with what we've learned and use it. So we can experience the same power that the first century Christians experienced if we do these things. Number one, connect with God. Connect with God. We've got to spend time with Jesus. We've got to spend time with the Lord if we're going to experience the filling of the Spirit. Doesn't that make sense? Notice what the observers saw about Peter and John in this passage. If we go back to verse number 13, we look at the end of that verse. As Peter and John are standing there before the religious leaders, it says that the crowd looked around them. And it says they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. They'd been with Jesus. Now, in our lives, do people look at us and think, man, it looks like that person has been spending time with God. They've been spending time with Jesus. That would be something wonderful for people to look at our lives and to think, man, that person has been spending time with the Lord. So we got to connect with God. If we want to be filled with the Spirit, we have to open up His book. We have to take time. You can't be filled with the Spirit if you haven't spent the time with Him. Remember what Jesus said to His disciples in the book of John? He said, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. We're talking about fruit this morning. The Holy Spirit wants to produce fruit in our lives. And then He says, for without me, ye can do nothing. So we have to spend time with Him, abide with Him, spend time in the Word of God. It's important that we carve out time in our daily schedule. Have you ever noticed if you miss 2 or 3 days where you just feel like, man, I filled up my schedule and I missed my Bible reading time? You ever notice that it feels like it makes a difference in your life when you haven't spent time in the Word of God? How easily it is that your attitude can get changed and you might snap at your spouse and it's not as easy to forgive people? Why? Because we may have lost the filling of the Holy Spirit because we haven't been spending time with Him. So if you miss that time, that's why it's so important that we read the Word of God every single day. And it should be easier now than ever. I mean, with smartphones and things, I mean, it'll remind you. My phone reminds me every single morning, hey, it's time to read the Bible. We shouldn't have an excuse for not reading the Word of God. We have it with us in more places than ever before. We've got to make sure that we're taking time for that. Because if we miss the Holy Spirit's filling, we begin to miss the major source of wisdom in our life, power, comfort, direction. God intends for us to possess all of those things. But if we're not filled with the Spirit, we'll miss it. So we have to connect with God. Secondly, we have to confess to God. We have to confess. We're to forsake the sin and the weights that prevent the Spirit's fullness. To be filled with the Spirit, we have to clear the way of some things in our lives that might prevent the flow of His power and presence in our lives. In Psalm chapter 66, the psalmist said this. He said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. In the book of Isaiah, the prophet wrote, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither His ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you, that He will not hear. When our lives are so full of everything else, it's kind of hard to be filled with the Spirit of God if we're filled with self-will, with stubbornness, with pride. If we're filled with that, is there any room for the Holy Spirit? We filled our lives with other things. A preoccupation with even lesser things. Things that are less important than this, we can fill our lives with that, and we miss the filling of the Spirit of God. We have to empty ourselves of sin. We need to confess. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us. So we empty ourselves. We confess to God. And then we notice what Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 1 tells us. It says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight, every sin, which doth so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. So the pathway to being filled with the Spirit of God in our lives is, number one, we have to connect with God. We have to spend time in His Word. We have to confess. We need to forsake the sins that may be hindering us, because it's hard for the Holy Spirit to fill us if we've got our lives filled with everything else that's keeping Him out. And then third, we have to call on God. If you want the Holy Spirit's presence and power in your life, ask. Ask God, fill me with your Spirit. Jesus said in Luke chapter 11, He said, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? God wants us to be filled. He wants us to experience the filling of the Holy Spirit. So how do we do that? Well, take a moment each morning. Ask God to empty you of self. Ask God to empty you of pride, stubbornness, anger, whatever it might be that you're struggling with, that you know, because we all know what we struggle with. And so ask God to empty me of those things today and fill me with your Spirit. Ask Him to replace your fleshly nature, you know, anger, pride, fear. Ask Him to replace that. Say, God, this morning, replace that anger, that fear, the bitterness, the pride with His divine nature. What is that? Humility, meekness, faith. God, would you fill me with those things today? Ask Him to direct your words, your actions, your reactions, decisions, motives. Ask Him to direct your thoughts. We could say it this way. Every morning we should get up and we should die to self and give the Holy Spirit control of our lives. Isn't that what Paul kind of talked about in Romans chapter 6? He said, knowing this, our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. We shouldn't serve sin in our lives. If we think about a firefighter going to a fire, the firefighter's gear, it's not controlled by itself, is it? The firefighter's uniform and his gear, it's controlled by the body that fills it. And our goal is not to be controlled by our bodies, but by the Holy Spirit inside of us. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, Paul said this, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. We're to allow the Holy Spirit. We're to crucify the flesh, die to self, say, God, take all of my fleshly desires this morning out of my life and replace them with what the Holy Spirit would want me to be filled with today. Frances Havergal, a hymn writer, I think she had this in mind when she wrote the hymn we've sung occasionally. It's a hymn called Take My Life and Let It Be. I just want to read you the words of this hymn. And this is one of the reasons why we sing some of these songs at church, because of the rich doctrine that we find. She says, take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Take my moments and my days. Let them flow in ceaseless praise. Let them flow in ceaseless praise. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of Thy love. Take my feet and let them be swift and beautiful for Thee. There's filling of the Holy Spirit when we allow our body to be controlled, our life to be controlled. In the last verse she says, take my voice and let me sing always only for my King. Take my lips and let them be filled with messages from Thee, filled with messages from Thee. That's what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Every single part of our life is controlled by the Holy Spirit rather than our flesh. And a side note, we don't have time to fully explore this morning. I'm just going to briefly mention it, but there's a lot of blessings that come in our lives when we're filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And as I was thinking of that hymn, one of the blessings that come from being filled with the Spirit is we're given a joy for singing. Many times when we sing here at church, I can stand up here and I get to look at everybody. And I wonder, oftentimes when I stand out here and look, I can see the people that aren't singing. I always wonder, Why aren't those people singing this morning? Because the Holy Spirit of God, if He lives inside of us, there should be a joy. There should be something inside of you that makes you want to sing. Not only that, but Scripture commands us to sing. When Paul wrote in Ephesians 5:18, "Be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit of God," he goes on to say this: "Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord." We're commanded to sing unto the Lord. In Colossians 3:16, look at what Paul wrote. He said, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom." We're to have the word of God dwelling in our lives. So how does Paul say that happens? There's two things Paul mentions. Number one, what is it? Teaching. The word of God, as we hear teaching and preaching, the word of Christ begins to dwell in us. What's the second thing Paul mentions? How does the word of Christ dwell in us? Through admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. He lays out that we're to sing. It's one of the chief ways that God's word dwells in us richly. You could say that the songs that we sing, they're sort of like 3-minute sermons, because they're so rich in doctrine that we take right from the word of God. And music is such a powerful tool. We know in Scripture that music is a powerful tool. And you get that stuck in your head. You begin to sing the word of God in your life. You sing, "Take my life and let it be." You begin taking all of this stuff about the Holy Spirit. "Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee." That music, that tune will get stuck in your head. You begin to sing that throughout the week, and the word of Christ begins to dwell in you richly as you begin to think about that. You sing a song like "In Christ Alone." Man, you talk about all the doctrines of the Bible compiled into one 3-minute song. "In Christ Alone," there it is, from His virgin birth to His death and His resurrection, His promise to take us home. Man, it's all in one song. The Holy Spirit, when it fills us, there should be a joy in our lives for singing. If you come to church and you find yourself not singing, I would ask you to go home and to begin to pray to God and ask Him, "Why don't I have a joy for singing? God, give me that desire that I want to sing to You." There's a lot of other blessings that we could talk about, but we just don't have time this morning. And finally, when you finish your time of connecting with God and confessing to God and calling on God, then you have to continue with God. Walk through each day exercising sensitivity to God's leadership and His direction, because unfortunately a Spirit-filled life doesn't come automatically even after spending time with God. This is what we talked about: conscious and constant. Sometimes people who are filled with God in the morning, by the time the afternoon comes, you need to be filled with the Spirit of God again. Because you've gone through so much stuff in the day, man, you feel overwhelmed. You need the filling of the Holy Spirit again by the afternoon. We have to walk in the Spirit, remain sensitive to what the Bible says, God's still, small voice. We're listening for that in our lives. You may have to pause a few hours into the day and whisper a prayer asking God to give you guidance. Walking in the Spirit might mean avoiding a tempting situation, refusing a sinful opportunity. It might be recalling a Scripture. It might be one of those songs that we sing coming back to mind. But those things will help us to make wise decisions. And then we talked about having total dependence upon the Spirit's power to live the Christian life. We have to recognize the weakness that our flesh has, the inability of our flesh to please God. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, Paul said, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." But that only happens when we're walking in the Spirit, when we're filled with the Spirit. "In all thy ways acknowledge Him," Proverbs tells us, "and He shall direct our paths." We're filled by the Spirit of God, and He helps us know where to go in life. And then lastly, very quickly, what's the product of being filled with the Spirit? We've talked about the priority. We've talked about the pathway to get there. So what's the product? Well, we said that there's some things He wants to produce in our lives. We mentioned a few things earlier. We'll mention a couple of more things here. Number one, the Holy Spirit produces a bold witness. In Acts 4:13, it says, "When they saw the boldness of Peter and John, perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. They saw the boldness that they had. In Acts chapter 4, verse number 31, you go down to the end of the chapter, it says that they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and they spake the word of God with boldness. There is a boldness in our lives, a bold witness that the Spirit will produce when we're filled. It doesn't come naturally. By nature, you know, we're not bold, but we're more hesitant to share the gospel with people. It's not something I enjoy doing, going to some random person and just beginning a conversation. That can be scary, right? There can be fear in us of doing that. But when we're filled with the Spirit, He'll give us a bold witness. So we have to receive the spiritual power, the energy of the Holy Spirit to make us bold witnesses that Christ has called us to be. The Holy Spirit gives bold witness when it's not convenient to speak up, when it's not easy to speak up. We look at the situation here in Acts chapter 4. This was not an easy or convenient time, but Peter obeyed the Spirit's impulse and spoke up for Jesus. We can't win others to Christ and influence the lost without having the Holy Spirit's boldness. Next, the Spirit produces a steady walk. Verse number 18. It says, they called them, they commanded them not to speak at all or teach in the name of Jesus. The religious leaders. They tell Peter and John, okay, we're going to let you go, but we better not catch you ever preaching in this name again. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. In the face of threats, these men continued to walk steadily. They weren't going to allow political or religious or cultural pressure to cause them to cave. Do we see that a lot in our society today? Outside pressures trying to force believers to cave. We have to maintain a steady walk. Well, we only do that when we're filled with the Holy Spirit of God. We can remain steady. He can enable us to do that because the Holy Spirit is like an anchor that keeps us where God would have us to be. In the book of Malachi, it says, for I am the Lord, I change not. Hebrews tells us that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So He can anchor us. He can give us the power to have a steady walk, not to cave to the pressures of the world. And then lastly, the Spirit produces a divine work. Verse number 30 says, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child, Jesus. Now, these early Christians, let's think about this as we finish. These early Christians on the day of Pentecost, they had seen 3,000 people saved. It was followed by the healing of this crippled man. They've seen some miraculous things happen. As soon as that is over, 5,000 people received Jesus Christ as Savior. They have seen some incredible things. But these early Christians, they began praying to God. They want to see even bigger and greater things happen. They weren't satisfied with what had happened there. They want to see even greater things begin to happen. They're asking and believing God for greater miracles in the days ahead. So how could they do that? I mean, you say, man, if I saw that, I couldn't even imagine. Because they were so filled with the Spirit of God that they thought this is just scratching the surface. God has even bigger things that He can accomplish in my life, in this ministry, through this church. They understood the Holy Spirit had come, and with His presence, literally anything was possible. And we read in the book of Acts that they turned the world upside down for Jesus Christ. So we should learn to trust God for more than we ever have trusted Him before. The Holy Spirit is, He's as able to work right now as He was then. If the results of our ministry, if it can be explained by men's skills, if it can be explained by man's ability, you know, we're probably landing far short of what God wants for us. We ought to learn to pray, God, in my life, in my ministry, in my family, in my career, in my marriage, I want You to accomplish so great a work that it's clear to anyone who sees that You're the one who's at work. That it can't be explained by any other reason. I want You to so far exceed expectations that the results are obviously a product of Your power and not mine. I think that might be what Paul was driving at in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 7. He said, But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power of God may be of God and not of us. We want people to know in our lives that He is the source of our power. If we can't accomplish whatever, people look at this church, they say, man, how could that church have accomplished those things? I mean, that's impossible. Amen. That's what we're praying for. That's what we should be believing for, that the Holy Spirit of God was. We don't want man to be able to take credit for it, because that gives us an opportunity to glorify God. So the Holy Spirit, He's Jesus Christ promised us. He's our source of power. He came to live within you the moment that you got saved, and He offers you His filling on a daily basis. But you have to seek it. It doesn't just happen automatically. He can give you the power to witness. He can give you the power to overcome sin. He can give you the power to make a difference in someone else's life beyond what you could imagine if you're controlled by Him. He can give you the power to love your spouse, to raise your children, to impact the lives of others. It's up to us. Will we connect with Him today, this week? Will we be controlled and walk under His Spirit's leading each day, each moment? Like the hymn writer said, take my life and let it be. That should be our prayer this week. And we'll see that the Spirit-filled life will make a difference. Let's pray. God, thank you for this time we've had to study the Word of God this morning from Acts chapter 4, as we looked at the Spirit's filling in the lives of Peter and John and the other believers there, Lord. And I pray that you would give us a desire to have as great of a filling of the Holy Spirit as they had in the first century, that we would begin to believe that you have great things that you want to accomplish in our lives, in our homes, in our marriages, and through our churches, God. And I pray that you would help us to become a church of people that are seeking the Holy Spirit's filling every day, that we would not walk in the flesh, but, Lord, that we would be controlled by the Holy Spirit of God, that we would begin to see it make a difference through our families and through our jobs and through our churches, that it would be evident by everyone that we are Spirit-led, and that it would give us opportunities to speak boldly for you. We pray that you'd meet with us now in this morning service, God. We pray for our missions month as we continue through that, that you would give us a desire to reach the world for Christ. We pray all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.